Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Your lesson guide for the main thrust of this lesson said that the Christian would learn to give generously and enthusiastically to the work of the Lord. And that is certainly something that we all need to do. And it is certainly found in this passage. We are going to take a little bit different slant look at it, something that I think holds a little bit truer to what the passage is actually saying. And my challenge to you this morning, and I'll just put it up here as we move on, is our giving helps and encourages Christ's children. And boy, do we see that in this passage. Now, that's not to say that we don't need to give cheerfully and generously to the work of the Lord, because we certainly do. And like I said, we will see that in this passage. It jumps out all over you. But this is something that is, I believe, the main thrust of what we're going to look at this morning. And by implication, this challenge, though it's indirect, is telling us, hey, keep on giving. Keep on encouraging. Keep on helping God's servants. It's important. So let's read the passage, and then we will open with a word of prayer. Verse 10 of Philippians chapter 4. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, or the idea is not in according to poverty or need. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, or beautifully, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage, Lord, that encourages us to follow the example of the Philippian believers, and to give, Lord, not just of our money, though that is certainly important, but of our time, our resources, our gifts that you have provided, our hearts, our concern. And Lord, surely giving is just a natural outflow of what you've done for us on the cross, and a natural expression of our love for you and a love for others. We pray that you'd help us to take it and make it personal this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. So that is our challenge statement for this morning. I'm going to put up here the outline that I've used in the book. And I've changed up the verses a little bit. They stopped at verse 13. I'm going to carry us through verse 14. So we'll look at Paul's acknowledgement of their gift, and then their concern and his contentment. And again, as we look at these things, our lesson is to continue giving, that we might help and encourage Christ's servants. Let's look at their concern here this morning. He says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Their gift brought joy, as we see as our first point. Their gift brought joy. When I was in Bible college, there were numerous times during chapel services where a student would get up and he would, or she would say, hey, you know, I didn't know how I was going to pay my school bill. I wasn't sure if I was even going to be able to take finals, because you had to have so much of your bill paid before you were allowed to take your finals. And, you know, I've been working as hard as I could and doing everything I can, and I just wasn't quite making it. And they would give a testimony of how God miraculously encouraged somebody to send them a gift for the exact amount or close to the exact amount. Or oftentimes, people would just call up the financial office and make a payment on the phone. And, you know, and just the joy on their face that that had been taken care of. That gift brought joy. When you and I give to God's servants, that's the kind of joy that oftentimes results. We don't always see that. You know, we don't always see that. The Lord has been reminding me in recent days, do you ever feel like you're sometimes in a rut? You ever sometimes feel like, man, I'm just really not doing a whole lot for the Lord? And I think we do need to feel like there's always room to grow. And I think we should never reach a point where we're just totally satisfied with what we're doing, okay, in the sense of, hey, I've arrived. But we do need to remember that, you know, just working a job and putting your tithe in the offering plate and giving your money to missions is very important. And the Lord's been reminding me of that in recent days, that that's not something I should take lightly. You know, not everybody can be a missionary in the sense of leaving the country. Because then who would support the missionaries who are leaving the country? You know, God has a plan. And when you go to work every day, remember there's more to it than just earning that paycheck to buy groceries. You're there to be a witness, both in word and in deed, and you're there to earn money to give to God's service that God's servants can be provided for. That's what happened here with Paul. You know, and the Philippian church wasn't a church that made a lot of money, but what they did make, they sent to him in a time of need, and it brought joy to his heart. And so when I give, when you give to God's servants, and it isn't always necessarily even just finances. You know, when you give any gift of time or a gift of, you share the spiritual gift God has given you, maybe it's a gift of encouragement or a gift of patience or the gift of administration or the gift of helps of some kind, whatever it may be, that brings joy. It brings joy to you and I when people share their gifts. And so giving is important in that it brings joy into the life of Christ's servants. Their giving met specific needs. That now at the last he says, your care of me hath flourished again. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. This was written at a time when Paul was under house arrest and couldn't just go out and make tents and earn a living like he had normally done. And he had specific needs. I'm sure things were lean. You know, there's not a lot of opportunity to bring in finances when you're chained to a Roman guard. And so things were lean, and they met, you know, was it just finances that they sent to him? Was it finances along with perhaps some personal gifts? I have no idea, but whatever it was, it met a specific need. And you and I need to follow that example and keep our eyes open for specific needs. This gift that we're going to do for the police here at the end of the month. By the way, the cutoff date for giving to that is the 28th of this month. Okay, so if you're thinking about that. And then after that, we will make the presentation to the officers. But this is a specific need, you know, and keeping our eyes open for things like that and acting upon those things has an impact on the lives of people. You know, when you and I have a specific need and somebody notices that and they meet it personally, boy, the joy that brings and the help that that brings, that's what the Philippian church here did for Paul. Their giving was an active choice of the will. Look back at verse 10. He says that now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. This is literally the idea of bringing something to life or causing something to grow up again. And what's interesting is the verb is active on the part of the Philippian believers. So we could easily translate it, you have revived your care for me. Okay, that would do no injustice to the text whatsoever, though our translation is fine. But that's just another way of looking at it. You have revived your care for me. And so they chose to involve themselves actively, and by a choice of the will, met a need that Paul had in his life. Giving is not something that just happens passively for you and I. You know, we are by nature selfish creatures. Our default mode is me. That's your default mode. And so if you're not letting the Spirit fill your life and control you, that will be what you naturally resort to. Some of us have less of a tendency than others to do that. Some people are, just in their personality, a little bit more caring. But at the base, at the root of the heart, every one of us is prideful and arrogant and incredibly selfish. And so giving is an active choice of the will that we choose to do every single day. You say, well, that sounds incredibly simple. It is, but it's also easy to forget, especially when we have problems of our own. Okay. Now, the Philippian believers, think about them. Were they a rich church? Absolutely not. How do we know they were not a rich church? What Bible passage tells us that they struggled greatly with finances? It is Sunday school, so I'll ask a question. Anybody? 2 Corinthians? Chapter? Chapters 8 and 9. Talk about how the Macedonian churches gave out of their deep poverty. Right? And even though they didn't have much, I mean, Paul was even amazed how they scrounged together what they did. And so when you talk about an active choice of the will, you know, this may involve, for you and I, this may involve not updating something that needs to be updated, or we would like to update. You know, maybe we have to put off that electronics or that new car, or forego that repair or that remodeling project, or whatever it is we may be doing in our lives. Sometimes you have to actively put those things off and choose, you know what, here's a need that's a little bit more important. And that's an active choice of the will. And so we can follow their example in that. Their giving was active. It was not passive. It doesn't just happen. Their giving was the product of a right spirit. Paul says, wherein your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. You know, these folks weren't giving to be noticed. They weren't giving to be applauded. They weren't giving to receive something back. Blessed is he that giveth and you don't expect to receive again, right? The Bible tells us. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. But they gave out of a right spirit. And that's the kind of spirit that my giving has to be motivated by. Otherwise, it's ultimately not pleasing to the Lord. Now, can the Lord use giving that is not in a perfectly right spirit? Oh, absolutely. He can meet needs that way. He's sovereign. Like Psalm 76, I believe it is, it tells us, Lord, even the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder thereof, whatever will not praise ye, thou shalt restrain. Okay. And so God can use anything he wants to bring glory. But the point is, if we are going to enjoy the close fellowship with the Lord that we need to be enjoying, then we need to be giving out of a right spirit. And that spirit is for no other reason than to please the Lord, to help others, and to give because it's right to give. Even if we're not thanked, even if we're not encouraged by the person we gave the gift to, whatever the case may be, the right spirit is simply giving out of a motive to please Christ. This point is interesting. Their giving was persistent. Okay? He says here, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So there was a point in the past when they recognized Paul's need, but for whatever reason they were unable to meet it. And so Paul says, look, you know, you saw this need in the past. You knew it was there, and you wanted to meet it, but you were not able to at that time. And that will happen with you and I. Okay? We have to be careful. And, you know, we can we can get up on a high horse in all different ways. Okay, our pride can show itself in all different ways. And here's one way that it can show itself and kind of deceive us. And we think, oh, well, you know, I can't meet that need, and I've got to meet that need, and that needs to be met. And we think, well, you know, if I don't meet it, nobody will. And we get to thinking so good about ourselves that we feel this way, and we don't stop to think, you know what, God doesn't need us to do a thing. Okay, we get to give to him. We get to help. He doesn't need us. And so, you know, if there's a time when we would like to help, but we literally cannot, which, quite be quite honest with you, that has hardly ever happened to me. I'm not sure it ever has happened, okay? And I say that to point out that we have a whole lot more than we care to admit at times. But if it does happen, understand that that's totally fine. It doesn't mean you're not right with God. It just means this isn't the time, and he's got a plan to use someone else, okay? But be careful in thinking, well, I've got to do this because it's all about me and I've got to meet. No, 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 it's all about the Lord. He'll meet the need. But that desire, okay, like God told David, when David said, I want to build you a house, and God said, nope. He said, you're a man of war. You shed much blood. I'm not going to have you build my house. But you've done well, what? That it was in thine heart, right? So he says, because it was in your heart and you've done well with that, I'm going to build you a sure house, which is ultimately fulfilled through our Lord Jesus Christ and will ultimately be fulfilled through the millennial kingdom and the eternal reign of Christ in the New Jerusalem. So God honors the heart, okay, and it's good to have that heart, and that was the heart that the Philippians had, and they were persistent. They said, you know what, I can't do it now. So they didn't just throw up their hands immaturely and say, oh, well, I just can't do it now. Who cares? It'll never happen. They kept their eyes open, and they watched, and they observed. And when the opportunity presented itself, they moved in and they fulfilled that need. So it's good for you and I to be in touch with the needs of each other here. It's good for you and I to be focused on the needs of our missionaries and the needs other churches have and the needs in our family. And though we might not be able to meet them right now, when can I? And what could I do now or what could I do later? And so there's that persistent desire to show our love to Christ and others by meeting the need. And next, let's look at Paul's contentment, still focusing on this propositional statement of our giving helps and encourages Christ's children. This may seem a little bit of an odd twist, but I want you to notice in verse 11 through 14 that their giving was not wasted. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want. It's like, I'm not presenting these things to you out of a need for poverty or according to poverty or according to just destitution. I'm not speaking according to those things because my focus is on Christ. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Their giving was not wasted. Now, I want to make a point. I want to be careful how I present this, okay? Because this is not an excuse to not give because we just don't feel like it. I'm not presenting us with a list of excuses of why we should hold on to things. I'm not saying that you only give to people who are absolutely right in every area of their life, because if you did that, and you'd never give to anybody. I would never have received any gifts if the person giving to me said, well, Chris needs to fix this and 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 this, and then I'll help him. But my point is, you and I need to give with our eyes open. There are a lot of charlatans out there today, okay? And there are a lot of charlatans labeled fundamentalist and fundamental Baptist. Okay, I'm not even going to pick on the non-denominational charlatans. Okay, let's bring it home. There's a lot of fundamentalist charlatans, and we need to give with our eyes open. Just because someone walks through these doors or sends a letter to the church and says, I have this ministry, doesn't mean that you are instantly obligated to empty your pockets into that ministry. Okay, I am not going to give to a mission board directly that has no respect or little respect for the local church. Now, you know, I know there's mixed views on mission boards. Some are against them, some are for them, okay? I personally would prefer to just use the local church, but I totally understand why people use mission boards. That the paperwork and the legal aspects and the insurance and they can provide you with so much help and care. I have no issues with a mission board. The only thing I have an issue with is when they bypass the local church and say, well, you're going to do this our way and this way and this way and this way. And when there's issues of discipline, it goes through them and not the local church. And you're not obligated to give to those things because they're really technically not biblical. Okay, somebody comes in and they're like, you know, hey, I'm going to such and such a country and you need to support me. But the individual is not qualified to be a pastor or not qualified to serve the Lord. There's open sin or there's things that haven't been dealt with, or that person's not really under the authority of a local church. They're just kind of doing their commando thing. Maybe even with good intentions. You're not obligated to give to those things, okay? And so their gift wasn't wasted. They gave with their eyes open. You know, now are you ever going to give and find out later on that, you know, it just probably wasn't the best place to put the Lord's money? Yeah. It happens. I've done it plenty of times. You know, you want to be a help, you want to be an encouragement, and you get out that checkbook and you write the check, and you're like, I know that's what, and maybe the Lord did want you to do it. You know, ultimately only He knows, but we're all going to get taken at some point. It is going to happen. But we do need to give with our eyes open. We need to be good stewards of what we have, because everything that we have is from God. And we need to give according to His will. We need to give generously according to His will. Their focus, their giving, because their giving was not the focus, Christ was the focus. And that's an important concept for not only the receiver, but the giver to remember as well. Okay. The ultimately, the end of it is not, hey, my giving happens or doesn't happen. Ultimately, the focus and the end and the motivation is Jesus Christ. Okay. And Paul kept Christ in focus and said, hey, You know, it doesn't matter if I have or I don't have. Ultimately, I have the Lord, and that's really all that matters. And ultimately, that's important for the giver as well. It isn't a matter of how much I give or how little I give or you know, it all relies on me or it all falls back on me. No, the important thing is Jesus being honored in this, and is he my focus in the giving? Because the minute Christ is no longer your focus or the motive for what you do, and not even in giving, but in any area of life, the service is going to crumble fast. And that's how people get burned out in ministry. Christ is no longer the focus. Get your focus on somebody, and that somebody thoroughly disappoints you. Now what are you left with? You know? Oh, man. Preacher so-and-so's, you know, I didn't know he was doing that, or he just up and left the church. Man, I've labored with him for 30 years. And just forget it. I'm going to go do my own thing. Well, you know, Christ wasn't the focus. Yeah, his name was thrown around a lot, and he was talked about a lot, but he really wasn't the one being served. And that's how people get burnt out. I find that when I'm getting burnt out in an area of life, that there's something wrong between me and the Lord in our fellowship. And not even necessarily something open like that I know of, but something that has crept in and he begins to show me, hey, you're getting a little cold in this area. You know, I'm not your source of joy anymore. You're trying to find it in your circumstances or in people or in the local church. And which sounds contradictory because the local church should be a place of joy, right? But it's not the source of joy. The source of the joy is Christ. And so Christ always has to be that source. And he was certainly Paul's source here as we see that. And he was certainly the source of strength for the Philippians to do what they needed to do concerning their giving. I think the ultimate illustration of this, Christ being our contentment and having that contentment in any situation and Christ being our focus, the ultimate illustration of that is Jesus. Think about it. Whether Jesus was in the wilderness fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. By the way, he drank no water and ate no food. I've heard some people say, well, he drank water. That's not impossible. It's impossible to live without water. No, the Bible says he drank no water and ate no food. Okay. For 40 days and 40 nights. But whether he was doing that or whether he was enjoying a full dinner, in fact, a dinner that was a little bit too elaborate in the home of Mary and Martha, whether it was that or whether it was in the wilderness, he had complete contentment in God. Didn't mean that there were no trials, that there wasn't serious spiritual struggles, you know, because he was fully man as well as fully God. But it didn't mean that continuously, unbrokenly, he had that perfect fellowship relationship with God the Father and always finding contentment in him. Paul says, I've learned how to do that. Of course, Paul didn't do it flawlessly because he's not Christ. He's not God in the flesh. But he says, you know, I've learned how to find this contentment. I've learned that Christ strengthens me in all things. And you and I need to grab a hold of that concept as well. And it's a daily struggle, isn't it? It's a daily choice. So their giving was not the focus. Christ was the focus. And lastly, their giving hit the mark and brought help and encouragement for one more day. I like what he says in verse 14. He says, notwithstanding, in other words, nevertheless, though I have found contentment in Christ, though I could be content whether you had sent the gift or hadn't sent it, nevertheless, you have well done. I needed that. This word, well done, Mark chapter 7, verse 37. Turn there if you would, please. Mark 7, verse 37. It is used of Christ concerning his ministry, concerning his character, concerning everything about him. And we will, let's look at verse 31 is where the context begins of Mark chapter 7. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished. saying, He hath done all things well. There's our word. He hath done all things beautifully, splendidly. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And so, when you and I let the Holy Spirit work through us and give to other people, whether it be money, whether it be time, whether it be spiritual gifts, whatever it may be, we do beautifully in God's eyes. Of course, you know, we're not supposed to be doing it to get that pin of beautifulness on our shirt or to get a spiritual mark, you know, on our little account. But the idea is that we might honor Christ and glorify Him. And certainly giving out of a right spirit does that. When we came over here from North Carolina, of course, it was it's a rough transition. Totally different place, totally different culture, different job, different church, different home, different everything. And it was very upsetting, to say the least. But, you know, about week number two, we get a package in the mail from Crossroads Baptist Church, Columbus, North Carolina. You know, and it wasn't filled with checks and tons of money. That really wasn't the need. But it just had things like cards of encouragement, you know, how much you're missed, how much we love you guys, how much your ministry meant here, won't you come back someday. Things that you could hang in our houses, you know, verses, words of encouragement, and other little knickknacks like that, some kitchen towels for Sandra and things like that. You know, at the last, their care flourished again. And that meant a lot to us. And that, you know, it wasn't the focus. And had it not come, could we have been spiritually well in Christ? Absolutely. But notwithstanding, they had well done that they did communicate with our pressure. And that is literally the idea here. The word affliction is the same word for great tribulation, right? The tribulation, philipseos megales. The tribulation, which is great. The pressure, which is great. Paul uses the exact same word. He says, I was under some pressure. I was being squeezed. And you stepped in and you took up that pressure with me and you met that need with me. And you have well done. And that's what happens when you and I step in and let the Spirit of God use us to meet the need of someone. So don't stop giving. Don't stop giving generously. Don't stop giving enthusiastically. Don't lose the focus of why you give. Okay? We're not here to earn a Sunday school pin. We're not here to earn some kind of meritorious badge because the Christian life has nothing to do with that. We're not saved by works. We're sanctified by them. Okay, we are sanctified as we let the Holy Spirit of God work through us and fill us, and He gets the honor and He gets the glory. So let's keep giving because it is very important. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this passage and for the encouragement of it, for the reminder of how important it is to give, Lord, in all areas of our life. And Lord, we think about how you give to us, and we think about how you meet our needs and you want to meet those needs, and how close it is, Lord, to your heart. And we pray that you would help us to emulate that heart. And to truly be your ambassadors here on earth by showing a giving spirit and a spirit of concern to relieve the oppressed and to feed the hungry and to loose the prisoners that are bound and to open the eyes of the blind through the knowledge of the truth. And Lord, help us not to lose focus of how important those things are to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.